Thing went out of whack a little while ago. That was just an angel out of tune. That was all that was. Here's my question to us this morning. Would you be willing to touch the water? Now, I want you to think about that question. I hope that we all understand that what God wants you and me to do is impossible. It is impossible to love the unlovable. It is impossible to forgive the unforgivable. And we're just not capable, church, of performing all of the supernatural feats that God has called us to do. None of what God has asked this church or any church to do, none of that could we ever do in our own ability. You look at the word can't actually means won't. And we won't be able to do unless something changes in our life. You know, today three people went through the waters of baptism, and, you know, we have said before that we identify with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, candidly, the water is symbolic. It's something that we do, but it's such a bigger picture that I want you to ask yourself the question, when I identify with his death, do you understand what he did? You identify with his death. We understand his burial, that he was placed in a tomb and he was dead. But the Spirit came upon him. And the Spirit raised up those dead bones. And the same resurrection power, church, that raised him from the dead is the same resurrection power that has raised you and I from the dead. And when we go up, you are a brand new creature in Christ. You need to know, church, who you are. What you used to be is not what you are today. What you used to have is not what you have today. Because you are new, because of what God through Christ has done for us. We've got to get to a place, and I said last Sunday, where we are no longer satisfied about hearing what they used to do. We are no longer content about what they used to do. I don't want to be satisfied and content back there. I want to be satisfied and content with what I got now. And if they did it then, and if we worship the same God now, then if they did it then you and I ought to be able to do it now, and that makes us the new creature in Christ. Now, again, my question is, would you have been willing to touch the water? Look at Exodus 14 and verse 13 through 16. But Moses said to the people, "Do not fear." We just sang a song a minute ago that we're going to give all the fear to God. We don't want to carry it. We're tired of having it. Satan keeps packing it on. But we need to rebuke it and give it back. But it says, "Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the sons of Israel to go forward. As for you, lift up your staff Stretch out your hand over the sea, divide it, and the sons of Israel shall go through the midst of the sea on dry land. Now, my question again to all of us is this: would you have been willing to touch the water? Now, think about this. There's not one person in this room today that is not walking through a Red Sea. There are obstacles in all of our lives. And no doubt, sometimes we're afraid. And I think when some of those people were walking through the Red Sea, the only focus they had was, I just want to get on the other side. I don't think some understood that they were walking on dry ground. I don't think they noticed how tall that water was. I think some were so focused about just getting that they couldn't even hear the roar of the water. Sad to say, some people didn't have faith in Moses, and if they didn't have faith in Moses and they didn't have faith in the God that sent Moses to go get your people across to the other side. But in the midst of all of that, I believe that there was a small group with childlike faith that wanted to run through the waters and put their hands on the waters and take the time just to experience the miracle of our God. Now, Pam and I talked about it. Pam says, I don't know about you. I'd just be running to the other side, man, you know. And I went, you know, I don't know where I'd have been, but, man, how awesome is it, church, that you and I could just take the place if our God says, get in the boat, go to the other side, put your foot in the water, go to the other side, that we don't look at all the other trash. We're just willing to put our hands in the water and act like a child and go, woohoo, check it out. Man, this is cool. But we don't do it. We're so fearful. Oh, my God, what happens if it falls on top of me? Oh, I can't hear because it's so noisy. No, that's you screaming. That's why you can't hear anything. Look at Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8 says, but you, church, will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you're going to receive power for one reason, so that you can be a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the remotest parts of the earth. But church, how can you and I fully embrace the totality of what God has for you and me in the Spirit if we're not willing to slow down and touch the water as we go through? Acts 2 and verse 4 says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. See, I shared last Sunday that I believe, and I know that that's kind of a probably tenacious conversation with some. But I believe that when I prayed to receive Christ, I got God the Father, I got God the Son, and I got God the Holy Ghost. I got it all. But the problem is I didn't know how to use the Spirit. See, if you and I are willing to touch the water, so that we can be filled to overflowing, then God's going to take the needs and God's going to take the wants and God's going to take his power. And I promise you that when God's power meets needs and wants, something is going to happen. Now, I don't know if that means he's going to break out and you're going to cross the Red Sea. Don't know. God might go, you know, you have been so much, get in the boat. And we'll just row to the other side. What I want you to understand is that to be called Spirit-filled today is not a term of endearment. To be called Spirit-filled is a label based on an ideology of sensationalism and emotions. And I got to be honest with you, there's times that all the stuff that you see is so biblically incorrect that you go, all you're doing is bringing attention to yourself. But I do believe this, church, if you're willing to touch the water as you walk to the other side, you will be filled with emotions based with such a supernatural experience with God that you'll be a witness to the world. You know, Paul and Maribel and Rosie this morning were a witness to all of us in this water. You know, one of the things, Paul, that is so awesome that you did for us today is that you said, I'm the daddy of my home. And for me and my household, we're going to follow the Lord. And when you bring your daughter in the water with you, that says a whole lot to you, your wife, your family, and your extended family to go, I'm not playing no games no more. See, what God is calling his children to do, I said before, is that we can't do it on our own. We can't give church what we don't have. And we can't do what we don't naturally have the ability to do. But when there is a want and a need, and our need is filled with divine power, then there has to be an explosion of something supernatural that comes from God. See, the church has got to a place that we come in, we sit down, we sing. You hear some old pastor preach a message, we go home and we're not changed. But you know, when you stand in the presence of God and sing, when you worship in the presence of God and sing, when you hear a message in the presence of God and sing, you can't do anything in the presence of God and not be changed. So my question is, how can we become what God expects? You know, I said last week, I don't believe that the Great Commission has an expiration date. The next question is, how can we soar with eagles, or how can you and I do that which is not natural to you and me? And who can build a supernatural experience without being willing to just slow down, touch the water, and go forward in childlike faith? Look at Acts 9, 3 and 6. As he was traveling, it happened. I want you to understand, as we go, things are going to happen. And on this specific day, we're talking about Paul, who at the time was Saul. As he was traveling, it happened that he was approaching Damascus. And suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting. But get up, enter the city, and it will be told you what you must do. See, there was a need in Saul's life. There was a want in God's life. And when a need and a want collide together, something's going to happen. And on this day, Paul had the need, God had the want, and God was just about to get Saul's attention. Now, the Bible says a light from heaven flashed. He fell to the ground. You can't stand, church, in the presence of Almighty God. And then Saul heard a voice. Saul, why are you persecuting me? You tell Saul that that wasn't a real experience. Saul's going to go, you can talk all the trash you want, but that was a real deal. You know that view, that program on TV, and the one lady that's the comedian, she said, you know, if Christians hear voices, then we all are crazy. Well, then I'm crazy, okay? Because here's the great thing about it is, what's crazy is to worship a dead God and expect him to talk back to you. I worship a God that is alive, and since mine's alive, he talks back and I get to listen. Now look at Acts 9, 9 through 15. And he was there 3 days without sight. He neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. Anytime the Lord calls and you say, here I am, you better be ready. He said, get up. Go to the street called Straight. I love this. Didn't tell him to go to the street called Crooked. Said, go to the street called Straight. And he said, and inquire at that house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul. For he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay hands on him so that he might regain his sight. Now, church, you would think if God would call us to go over there, go in that house, lay hands on them, you and I would go, woo-hoo, yes, Lord. Look what he did. Ananias answered and he said, oh, Lord, oh, Lord, I've heard from many about this man. And how much harm he did to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. See, we all make excuses when God wants to get us to the other side. Oh, Lord, I got nothing to offer. Oh, Lord, I don't know. I ain't been to college yet. Oh, I hadn't played that guitar in years. Oh, I've been in jail my whole life. I ain't got... We need to stop making excuses. And we need to be willing to put our hands in the water to go, I'm going to enjoy going to the other side. Verse 15, but the Lord said to him, go for this reason. For he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. See, when God asks you to do something, you don't know what he's got in mind. He might be the worst of the worst. He might be a guy that just got out of jail and he spent 40 years in jail. But God says, I want you to go to him because he's an instrument of mine and I am going to use him to touch what I want done. Now, the thing about the story is that Saul was blind. And he used a man who was living in fear. He sent him to the most undesirable to do one thing, lay his hands on him. Now, Saul was a guy that was like, don't lay hands on me because I'll chop your head off. But if God's in the midst of what God wants us to do, then God has surrounded us with his ministering spirits. Amen. God will send us forth to do what he wants, and he's going to give us the knowledge and the wisdom and the protection to get it done. In church, there was a need that needed to be filled. There was a want from God, and when need met want, I got to tell you, it will knock you to the ground. For God to give us what we don't have, I think you would agree that it would make sense that he would do it in a manner that you and I can't. Now listen to this with an open heart. See, moments of supernatural empowerment will always be accompanied by signs and wonders. A lot of people will say that doesn't work today. But I'm telling you, that when there is a moment of supernatural power from God, it has to be accompanied by a sign, and it has to be accompanied by some wonder. A need of direction is going to come from a word of prophecy. An encounter with the sick is going to be met with healing power. A moment of uncertainty is going to be met with wisdom and knowledge and discernment. And church, when want collides with needs, God's going to step in with a gift that you and I cannot manufacture, because he's the potter and we're the clay. And that's why I want you guys to begin to learn your gifts. I want you to know what God has called you to do. The gift that God has given me is evangelism. Others in this room have gift of prophecy, and others have gifts of knowledge. Some have gifts of tongues. Others have gifts of interpretation. I don't know what your gift is, but I'm telling you that there is always a need, and God always has the want. And God wants need and want to collide so that we can become the witnesses to a dying and a dark world. Look at Ephesians 3 and verse 20. It says, now to him who is able to do more abundantly beyond all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Church, we live in a Christian society today where many people go, there are no longer absolutes. People will look at miracles today as just a misunderstanding of inexplicable realities. People will look at demon possession and go, oh, they're just mentally ill. People will look at disease today and go, oh, that's just kind of some unexplainable, you know, medical condition. And those who have been raised from the dead, people will say, oh, they were only in a coma. I've talked to people that have held babies that were dead. Louis Self is one of the people that worshiped or that we supported, and he had his ministry in Africa. And he says, Keith, I got to tell you that there was a lady that tried to put a curse on us. And that same lady that tried to put a curse on us literally brought us her child one day. And that child was dead. And we began to pray for that child. And that child began to cry. And he says, you know, that woman who used to put a curse on us now works with us and for us, trying to get other people over there to understand. Each one in this room today, church, lacks so much. Some of us have health issues, family issues, financial issues, but I promise you that God will deliver what we lack through something that people will call today, oh, that was just an experience. Now I want to ask you this question. How has God changed your life? And what role did an encounter or an experience play in that transformation? You know, Mike, I thought about you years ago when you had the aneurysm at the house. You know, and Mike and I have been together for a long time, but you ask Mike today, has God called him? Mike's going to tell you, you bet he has. Give me a one-liner, Mike, about your little transformation.
Amen. You know, I should have died. 92% of people don't make it to the hospital. Of that 8%, 90% die.
Amen.
I woke up saying, you want me to do
it? Amen. See, that was a need and a want, and when want and need collide together, there's going to be a supernatural experience that's going to get our attention, and we're going to go, God, whatever you want, you send me. You know, I look at my own life, and Mike and Cindy knew Pam and I way before this, but I look at my own life, And I know that there was a need. But I had a God who had a want. And I had a God that reached down and picked me up from the gates of hell. And he said, Keith, I don't want you there. He said, I want to rise you up and I want to put you over here. The day that I went in and I prayed to receive